as I said, the case is 21-1191, In Re Google LLC, appeal from the United States Patent and Trademark Office, the Patent Trial and Appeal Board. Ms. Curtis, you want 5 minutes for rebuttal? All right, in between, we might, before we get to rebuttal, we're going to have to move the camera back out, so you'll have to let us know when that happens. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Tara Curtis, here on behalf of Appellant Google LLC. Unless Your Honors prefer otherwise, I'd like to start with the individualized notification element. Specifically, I'll talk about what that notification means and why the Spivak reference does not teach it, and then I'll discuss the predetermined threshold element. Fundamentally here, the Board misunderstood the individualized nature of the claimed notification step.
Can you speak up a little bit? These things make it difficult.
Apologies. If we look at the language of the claims, specifically Claim 1, it's on Appendix page 13 for your reference. The notification here is specific to the level of relevancy for an individual. We know that looking at not only that final limitation with the notification step in it, but the previous, the second to last limitation, where it, the claim requires determining for each user of the predetermined group of users a level of relevancy for a predetermined object.
The Board found that this issue was not actually raised, that it was waived, the government argues that, in fact, it has been waived and that it can't be presented for the first time here on appeal. What precise language from your briefing below do you rely upon to say that it was sufficiently raised?
Sure. So respectfully, Your Honor, the Board did not find and make any findings with respect to this particular argument. It was just the director that argued waiver on appeal. But looking at Google's briefs to the Board, we see this argument was certainly raised and has been Google's argument throughout the proceedings. If we look at Appendix page 543, there's that paragraph at the bottom of the page where Google is distinguishing Spivak from its claims and specifically says that Spivak is only teaching this customized media content, so that's essentially filtering content so that a user can see.
I'm sorry, you are on 543?
Yes, that's correct.
And roughly where on 543?
The first paragraph that's not indented.
That is Spivak at most?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, Your Honor. So that first sentence, Google is distinguishing Spivak from the claim, saying that Spivak is only teaching the filtering content. And then if we look down about four lines, the sentence begins, however, nowhere does Spivak teach or suggest that such alerts can be in any way related to trends applied to users. So there Google is specifically saying Spivak teaches this filtering content. It does not teach applying trends to users. And then it goes on, Google's brief goes on to say, let alone does Spivak apply trends to users who meet a particular level of relevancy for an identified object. And that is the exact...
But that still talks about users generally as opposed to specific users, correct?
Well, Your Honor, I would disagree with that respectfully. The reliance on the level of relevancy of an identified object is only for individual users. And again, if we look at that final or the second to last limitation in the claims, that determining the level of relevancy for each user, the only relevancy determination that is ever made in the claims is for individual users. And so here Google has referred specifically back to relevancy of an identified object. That is relevancy for an individual user. And again, Google raised
this
argument.
So you're saying that the Board needed to take this and then to interpret this sentence by going back into the patent to see what you might have meant by this sentence?
Well, I think it's clear on its face, Your Honor, but there's even clearer language in Google's reply brief to the Board. If we look at Appendix 568, I'll give you a moment to get there. Again, we're looking at the first paragraph that's not indented. The argument that Google is making here is, again, distinguishing Spivak from the claims. The first sentence says that is, Spivak at most teaches determining relevance of a message or piece of content to a group of users. That is completely different than identifying a trend for an individual user, which is what the claims are directed to. And again, Google uses similar language in the next sentence. However, nowhere does Spivak teach or suggest a notification indicating a current trend applied to users, let alone to users with the level of relevancy of an identified object.
Did you file a motion asking the board to reconsider on grounds that you believed the board misunderstood your arguments?
We did not file a motion for reconsideration, Your Honor, but that's not a requirement before bringing an appeal.
Well, I understand that, but in this particular case, the board obviously didn't think you raised this issue because it never addressed it.
That's correct, Your Honor. And that's unfortunate that the board didn't understand the argument that Google was making. But I think the references I've cited and the record as a whole show that Google did make this argument repeatedly. The examiner only ever found that the prior art applied trends to a group of users. The board made that same mistake, and so here we are on appeal, requesting that determination be reversed. So if we look at the specification of this application as a whole, we can see that it is really this individualized determination that is being claimed, the invention here was moving away from applying trends to a group or to aggregated demographic populations and moving toward that more particular individualized targeted advertising.
What do we do about the fact that the claim says one or more? It doesn't say one user.
Sure. So the one or more language, Your Honor, is just saying repeat this process for each user within your predetermined group.
Where in the written description is that made clear?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Where in the written description is that made clear?
Sure. If we look at, I believe it's Appendix 185, it's paragraph 34 and 35, describes the notification that is being sent to vendors. And paragraph 34 states that the vendors can be notified, on satisfaction of certain predetermined conditions. And then paragraph 35 goes on to indicate what that notification might say. So, for example, a vendor might get notified about trends relating to products. And then if we look at the third line, about halfway through, there's a comma, and then it states, identifies users associated with those trends. So there, the specification is saying that the notification can identify the particular users associated with the trend. And then farther down in that paragraph, the specification states that the vendor can choose to vary.
I'm sorry, which paragraph are you in right now?
35, Your Honor.
In 35 now,
yes.
Okay.
And now I'm looking at, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line down, the cost of placing an advertisement may be set based on a value for a selected user or for a group. And so it's making a distinction. There could be, Google could have claimed notifying vendors about trends applying to groups. That's not what it did. And there is written description support for, notifications about a particular user. And then even the next sentence states that the value may be further based on how relevant the trend is to an identified user. And again, that's pulling in that second to last limitation, determining the level of relevance for one particular individual user. And then back to your question, Judge O'Malley, is taking that individualized user relevancy determination and applying it across the board to all of the different users in the predetermined group. Spivak simply does not teach that individualized relevancy determination. The board relied on two different aspects of Spivak as allegedly teaching that limitation, and neither of them fit the bill. The first is the desktop alerts, and what those alerts are essentially doing is taking incoming social media content, filtering it based on some settings that the user has set, and then showing it to the user, and in some cases in the form of a desktop alert. There's no discussion
If what you really want is to be focused on a single user as opposed to user groups, why didn't you just propose to amend the claim to make that clear?
Your Honor, we believe the language is clear from what was used in the claims. It's that one or more users. Google could have perhaps claimed one user and then a final limitation stating repeat for all users, but it's more concise, I think, to use the language that we used. And I think that the support is there.
Well, when you say more concise, it's more broad.
Right? Yeah. More concise in terms of word usage, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. In any event, Spivak doesn't teach that sort of trend to individual user relevancy determination. And there's an additional problem with the board's analysis here beyond the Spivak issue, and that's that the predetermined threshold issue that the board relied on Zhang for. And I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so I'll summarize it briefly. Zhang doesn't teach any sort of relationship between the predetermined threshold and sending the notification. That's really a crucial element of the claims here. If there are no users that satisfy the predetermined threshold, there's no notification to be sent. And furthermore, Zhang, to the extent that it teaches any threshold with its minimum cost analysis, that is a user-to-user relevancy determination. It's looking at the fashion preferences of two different users and comparing them, using that as a boundary for creating groups. And the claims, instead of what Zhang does, the claims claim a user-to-object relevancy determination as the basis of the threshold. If there are no questions on that, I'll save my time.
3 minutes left.
Thank you.
Okay, you'll just have to give us a minute while we clear out the partitions. You don't need to put them back for rebuttal. All right, is it Mr. Rosilla?
Yes, it is.
Okay, you may proceed.
You may please the court. First, I just want to thank the court for the opportunity to argue virtually here. I'm representing the PTO in this matter. I wanted to take the issues that were raised by counsel for Google. First, I want to point the court to Appendix 7 and Appendix 9, these are the two places where the board found that they were not persuaded of examiner error because the appellate does nothing to call into question the specific underlying factual findings made by the examiner and the evidentiary support therefor. The courts used similar language at the top of Appendix page 9. So counsel for Google is incorrect. The board did find that counsel for Google did not properly and sufficiently raise the arguments to challenge the prima facie case made by the examiner. Second, I would say for the particular language that counsel for Google just pointed this court to on pages 543 and 568, again, there all that language is in the plural. It's talking about users in the plural. There's nothing about an individual single user in those arguments. So it's not up to the board to try and figure out that they are making a different argument than the one that they actually made before the board. So I think that the board was correct to find that they didn't raise that argument. And again, going into the specification, this court asked whether there was any support in the specification to somehow individualize the one or more user language in the claims. And I would say first, the claims are pretty clear that it's one or more. It's not, they're not talking about any individual user. And if you looked at paragraph 33, which is on appendix page 185, the first sentence of that paragraph says that the current trend applies to one or more of the group of users. And then the language that counsel pointed to in paragraph 35 simply says, the second to last sentence in paragraph 35 says the value may further be based on how relevant the trend is to an identified user. So that's permissive broad language that in no way would limit the claims in the way that counsel for Google wishes this court to do now. Respect to the predetermined threshold argument,
did you want to address the limitation determining for each user of the predetermined group of users limitation?
Sure. I think it would be. I think it's helpful to direct the court probably to figure 4C of CVAC, which is on appendix page 27. I think that's a good summary of Spivak's broad teaching and a good framework to guide the response to Google's arguments. Mm-hmm. So here, this figure four, which was cited by the examiner in the final rejection and in the examiner's answer, was also referred to by the board in appendix five. This chart lays out the configuration settings that the various modules, the various software modules within Spivak can accomplish. And here it talks about, in the first block, block 454, it talks about the message was being posted by a group of users, and that group of users their relevance is determined by various attributes. So if you look at the list of various characteristics, the second to last one is, for example, people who have some attribute. So what it's telling you is that taking this group of users who have some attribute, and we know from paragraph 113 of Spivak, which the examiner cites to, that one of those attributes is the interest and relevance of those users to specific topics. So in order to find the information, or in order to define the group as one that has interest and relevance to a specific topic, it's got to go through each one of those users and compare the relevance value to the user interest profile of those users. And so what happens here, what this is showing, and this is what the examiner is arguing at the end of page, appendix 559 in his answer, that the system is doing an individualized, it's checking the relevance, determining the relevance for a predetermined group of users for each one of them. And once it says that they all have some level of interest or relevance to the topic, then they will take a look and see what's going on with the messages and content that they're posting. And within that, those messages and contents they're looking at, they can find trending information. That you can see that in box 456. Which is the popularity and activity entries there. That shows trending information. And then we know that the scoring engine will do can do an individualized determination of the relevance to each user. And we can see that here in the importance to me and the relevance to me entries in box 456. And this corresponds to paragraph 115, which is one of the paragraphs that the examiner cites to and that the board relies on, to show how the node display, which is one of the outputs in box 458.
Which paragraph is that again? I'm sorry, I missed your paragraph reference.
Sure, it's paragraph 115 of CSET, right. And the outputs, the notifications, are shown in box 458 of figure 4C. So I've moved down to the final box in figure 4C. In paragraph 115, the examiner explains that the node display can show the relevance information in a way that, or sorry, can show trending information in a way that shows what the relevance is to an individual user by changing the colors of the lines and of the nodes, and it does it continuously and keeps it updated. And in that way, it does the individualized analysis and comparison of the relevance to each user and to a particular user. And we know that information, because it's output in that node display, that it can be the basis of the notification. That notification can provide information that indicates the current trend applies to one or more users of the predetermined group of users whose level of relevancy satisfies a predetermined threshold. And so, again, that by stepping through each one of these boxes, the examiner, in each one of the paragraphs that we play to, particularly on examiner's answer pages, page 559, and 516 to 517 of the final rejection, explain how SPIVAC teaches that aspect of the claim language. And I appreciate that was a lot of information coming in, so if you have any questions about that. So I think that the examiner provided a prima facie case here to demonstrate that the system in SPIVAC is providing that determination of relevancy for both the group of individuals that's defining the universe of users whose posts are being reviewed for trending information, and can also then go within each one of those individually and say, okay, the interest or relevance to me, to a particular user in that second box, can be something that causes an action. And that action in the last box are these notifications, both the node display, which in this case is represented by the language, show me the message in a particular view or stream, or in the desktop alert, which is one of the examples that is a little further down in that list. So I think and the board agreed with the examiner, cited that language in the board's opinion, and so I think both the board and the examiner here provided substantial evidence on the record to show that SPIVAC teaches this aspect of claim one. Within the Zhang reference, talking about the predetermined threshold, Counsel for Google argues that it can't be considered a notification because it's a user-to-user analysis and comparison and grouping, but that's not the case. The examiner found that, yes, at some level it does a user-user comparison, but that comparison is based on similarity values that are based on the fashion preferences of the users to specific objects, to specific types of clothing. And so that information, those fashion preferences are the basis for the similarity determinations. And those similarity determinations, in turn, are what are used to cluster the users together. So the clustering that you get is ultimately based on the user's relationship with the clothing within those objects. Again, if you look at the arguments made to the board, they don't challenge that. They just say that they disagree, but they don't provide any reason why the examiner's understanding and reading of that prior art is not reasonable. And with respect to paragraph 64 of Zhang, which is on appendix 69, to show that Zhang teaches the issuance of a notification when the threshold is met. So here, he teaches that the fashion preference cluster, which again is based on the user-to-object relationship and preferences, can correspond to fashion trends. And when this is the case, the system can automatically alert marketers to emerging segments. So this paragraph provides the relationship between the notification and the determination and the threshold, the use of a threshold, in this case, the minimum cost value that's used to group and cluster those users together based on the similarity preferences, which in turn are based on the fashion, their fashion preferences. And I think that's a little bit of a red herring. The court doesn't need to go that far in its analysis because the board and the examiner relied upon the schema disclosure of the relevance value to the users. Again, just you can see that in figure 4C, this relevance to me, importance to me analysis to provide the notification, that action that's done in the final box 458 of figure 4C. So there is the connection between the relevance, the meeting, the use of relevance to send out a notification, and then they look to Zhang to teach the specific use of a threshold, in this case, the minimum cost threshold to send that notification. So I would submit to the court that the record includes substantial evidence to support the board and the examiner's finding that claim one is obvious over the disclosures, the full disclosures of SPIVAC and Zhang.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from Ms. Curtis with respect to rebuttal.
It's okay.
I'll start with the last point that the director's counsel made with Zhang. The threshold at issue is not just any threshold. It is a specifically claimed threshold that is triggered by satisfying, or the notification is triggered by satisfying that threshold. And it's not the case that, you know, any old threshold is going to satisfy the claim limitations. And then with respect to counsel's other point about Zhang, Zhang's user-to-user relevancy determinations actually being underlyingly based on user-to-object relevancy determinations, Zhang doesn't say anywhere that there's any sort of determination being made between the relevance of an object and the relevance to that particular user. Yes, the user's fashion preferences are going to be related to the particular objects that that person is wearing, but there's no analysis of how relevant that object is to that particular person, and especially so, any sort of analysis to that effect is not what is the input for that minimum cost analysis. That is based on similarity between fashion preferences of two users and is not the claimed user-to-object relevancy determination. I'll get back to counsel's first point about what the board actually found here. Counsel argued that the board found waiver over the arguments that Google is making here on appeal. The board did no such thing. It never specifically mentioned that individualized relevancy determination for the notification. It never mentioned any of the elements of Zhang. In fact, the board's analysis of Zhang was really one sentence, and essentially said we don't buy Google's argument, and that was really the extent of the analysis there.
Well, I mean, the board was saying that Google did not overcome the examiner's grounds for rejection.
Yes, but the board never analyzed what those grounds even were with respect to Zhang. And I will note that the board did make a particular waiver finding about a different limitation about the determining the popularity of an identified object, and specifically noted that that had been waived. There was no similar analysis or argument for waiver on either of the arguments that Google has raised here on appeal. And then I'll just end with some comments about Spivak and that figure 4C. Everything that counsel was talking about is an input for filtering content for users. There's no trend analysis going on. There's no application of that trend to a user. There's no notification that a particular trend does in fact apply to an individual user. All of that information that is mentioned in figure 4C is simply to figure out what content am I going to show to a user. And there's just simply nothing in the reference that meets the claim limitations. And if there are no further questions, I respectfully request the court reverse the board's decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The cases will be submitted. The court is adjourned.